Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
You're listening to Adventist World Radio SID Media, and this is live. My name is Sibongile Lugube, and I am your host until 3 o'clock this afternoon, standing in for Nayo Pondwana. Now it is time for us to get into conversation with Pastor Israel Ntshangase, who's been speaking to us about the book of Exodus. We've covered two chapters, I believe, this week, and today we are on Exodus chapter 7, and the pastor will be taking us through that. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Well, I'm okay. Busy as usual. Summer preparation.
Of course. And stuff. Of course. Of course. And so we don't want to keep you for too long. We have a few minutes to get into chapter 7 of the book of Exodus. Could you please just quickly take us through what this chapter covers?
Okay. All right, that's okay. I'm just taking my glasses so they can read a bit.
Sure.
Yeah, if you can just read for me a bit. Yeah. Yes, we are in chapter 7 today, and we have had chapter 5, the encounter with Pharaoh, and then chapter 6, it was a continuation of what was happening there.
Right.
Ending up with the family of Moses and Aaron. So chapter 7 is about, it's interesting, Aaron's miraculous rod.
Right.
There also there's a debate there. We know God was appointing him to be the priest, and then other people are saying, no, we too. We can do that. Okay. And said, let me then be a judge. God became a judge in a sense that he said, let's just put your names on the rods. And then I'll pick one rod. And the word I pick is the one that I choose. The name of Aaron was in that sense written. Mm-hmm. I mean, chosen. Mm-hmm. But there's a quotation here which I think I need to refer to.
Okay.
Commenting on verses 2-5, that is, the author is Ellen G. White. The book is A Patriarch and Prophet. She's commenting on page 263. She says, to humble a proud heart. Then I want to read quickly. I read open quote. Before the infliction of each plague, Moses was to describe its nature and effects, and effects that the king might save himself from it, if he choose. Every punishment rejected would be followed by one more severe, until his proud heart would be humbled, and he would acknowledge the Maker of heaven and earth as the true and living God. So I want to start off by mentioning that one there, that Pharaoh, the dealing with Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh made it hard for himself by hardening his heart, compelling God to prove that who is God between the two. And then God is the God of heavens and the earth. So Pharaoh had to suffer the consequences in that sense. And then God had to prove his power over a human being, a creation, like Pharaoh as a creator himself. Mm. That is from verses 2-5. But coming to verse 8 now, it says, the Lord, God spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourself, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I did say something else. No, this is another thing here. Yeah. So the miraculous rod became a snake, right? Mm-hmm. So Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant, and it became a serpent. Yeah, we serve a miraculous God.
Amen.
Who can turn even rods into snakes.
Mm.
a dead rock into a living snake, poisonous snake for that matter. Yeah, that's how powerful our God is. And then if you look at verse 12, there's no power to give life. Now, this one is a conditional of the same quotation. Now is page 264, Pastors and Prophets. I'm trying to give the listeners the background of what the commentator says on the passage you are reading.
Right.
She says here, the magicians did not really cause their rod to become serpents, mm-hmm. but by magic, right?
Okay.
Aided by the great deceiver, they were able to produce this appearance. It was beyond the power of Satan to change the rod to a living serpent.
Yeah.
Now, the prince of evil, mm-hmm. though possessing all the wisdom and might of an angel fallen, has not power to create or to give life. This is the prerogative of God alone.
Yeah.
I think the listeners need to understand that the gist of the whole thing, even though we see the magicians managing to turn their rods also into snakes. It was only the magic, not that they could create.
Mm.
Only God can create. So if we take that into consideration, it will help us a great deal. Then the last part, the first plague, water becomes blood. So we have seen God being patient with Pharaoh all along, but now from chapter 7 verses 14 to the end, we see God beginning to show his anger against a Pharaoh who is stubborn enough not to let God's people go. Are we together, my sister?
100%.
Yes. So in other words, God had no reason to do all this.
Yeah.
If Pharaoh was somehow humbled and cooperating with God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know who God is, don't fight God. Because it is given. No human being can fight God and win.
Amen.
No one. Not even Satan. So Pharaoh made things hard for himself in the sense that he was not willing to let God's people go, you know.
Yeah.
And I wonder, because he had already oppressed them for so many years anyway.
Yeah.
Perhaps he was so used to have them, help the Egyptians become rich, because these guys were really working hard.
Yeah.
And producing, stuff that were making Egyptians rich in a way. So to let them go. And I want to believe also that Egyptians were spoiled sort of now.
Mm.
So for these people who are enslaved to live,
yeah.
Perhaps Pharaoh was thinking now that if his own people are beginning to do the jobs that are done by the Israelites, they're not going to do it effectively
because
they were spoiled. Like at home,
yeah.
If you don't allow your kids to wash dishes,
yeah.
You feel that the art must always be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then because your kids are spoiled.
During the Christmas break, now it's a problem.
It's a problem. It's a problem because your kids can no longer clean the house.
And
can no longer wash the dishes. Yes.
To what you're saying regarding how long the Israelites had actually been enslaved, I wonder if maybe it would cross Pharaoh's mind that if their God had any power, surely he would have delivered them a long time ago. So I suppose that might have also been part of his reasoning that there's nothing here. There's no what kind of a God would have allowed them to be oppressed for this long? Obviously, there's no power.
You got it right, Bongi. The Pharaoh was thinking along those lines, forgetting that who God is powerful. But anyway, in the previous chapters, you remember he said, "I don't know the Lord.
Ish.
Who is the Lord?"
Ish.
Yeah. So that claim that I don't know the Lord. With the thinking that you just mentioned now.
And then
for someone
who's hearing this for the first time, maybe have missed previous conversations, could you just touch a little bit on the fact that God says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart"? What does he mean by that? Because
it sounds unfair. Yes, thank you so much. God respects people's choice. He's a God who gives us an opportunity to choose. Like even in the Garden of Eden, it was a garden of choice. They had to choose to continue loyal to God, or they choose to become disloyal to God, which they chose, and then we know the outcome.
Yeah,
the heart of Pharaoh was hard already.
Okay.
That's the fact. So when God is hardening the hard heart, God is only confirming that Pharaoh, your heart is hard. I will assist you. Because your heart is hard, I will assist you to continue hardening so that I can prove my power.
Sure.
You remember, I think it should be Joshua chapter 11, when the Israelites now came around the city of Jericho, and then Joshua sent the spies, you know, to spy the land. That woman who hid them, you know, from being seen.
Yeah.
She says that, you know, we have heard the power of your God. That's now for almost 40 years before, but God was also making a statement to other nations, not only the Egyptians, to say that when it comes to him, no nation has power to fight him.
Amen.
No king of the earth has power to fight God and win. So the long and the short, if it was not the heart, God would not have hardened it. He hardened it because it was already hard, yes.
And then I think there's also something to be said about the fact that the miracles that Aaron and Moses were able to perform, that Pharaoh's people were able to replicate that. And I think that
that is correct.
To those of us who are easily convinced by quote unquote miracles, I think will be easily deceived even in the last days. That's very dangerous to be to be excited by so-called miracles.
Yeah. That is why miracles are not the test of true faith. They are not the test of true faith in modern religion, in Christianity as a whole today.
Yeah.
There are ministers, whether they are coming within the country of South Africa or from somewhere else, they perform false miracles. And people who have not studied the book of Revelation may not even know that in the last days, the devil will perform false miracles such that even will pretend the second coming of Christ, you know, he will even create fire to come from heaven, but it will be a dim fire, not as bright as the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, but in the last days, one of the devil's strategies is deception. And the best way to deceive is to perform false miracles.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So they performed this. It's not even immediately. It's magic.
Yeah,
it's magic. Yeah. So magic is the greatest way of the enemy of souls to deceive those who don't know God.
Amen.
Yes, people should know that there is a difference between a miracle and a magic.
Yeah. Magic
glorifies people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's more it glorifies the people. Illusions and tricks.
That's right. Yes, and it's not going to last long. What to call like that? And when God heals, like Christ healed those people, they were healed for good, even though they end up dying. But the disease did not come back. The demons did not come back. So in this, an illusion of a magic, it's only a temporal thing. It's not lasting for forever anyway.
Right.
Yes, that's one of the things people should understand as well.
Sure, that's powerful. And what you alluded to earlier on, as you were describing that difference between Aaron's rod and the illusions that were performed by these magicians, I think that also can go into anything that tries to replicate to replicate true religion, that it might look the same, it might the illusion might make it look like it's the same thing, but at the end of the day, only the true word of God is the one that gives life. The devil can't create life, and so
his fake
religion cannot change hearts. It can't breathe life into your soul. And at the end of the day, you know, that's how we'll be able to tell by the fruits that there was no life in this thing.
Yes.
And so it's better to just
be careful
not to be led astray by those illusions, right?
Yeah. Maybe that the other point, Bong, which I need our listeners to understand, is that the history will repeat itself here. The plagues that God showered upon Pharaoh and his people in Egypt in the last days. It will be repeated. Now there are seven. When the powers that be will persecute God's people, God will defend his people again. Just like he did in this case of delivering Israel. God will protect his own. God will allow some to die for obvious reasons as a testimony, you know, that these guys are now honored in heaven as martyrs of God.
For sure.
Sorry,
Pastor, please continue.
I'm saying it is an honor to die for God. It's not that God is neglecting his people.
Right.
It's a testimony. You know, the blood of the saints speaks volume to those who are killing them. To say this thing is so real that people choose to die than to compromise their faith. Their faith is so peculiar. They can't compromise. Even in the face of death, they prefer death than compromising a faith that God has bestowed upon them. That is going to happen in the last days as well. So we must learn from this history, because in the end, it will repeat itself.
Wow. That's incredible. And that's a powerful point. Facing death, you won't be able to withstand it if you're not genuinely convinced.
That's right.
At that point.
Yes.
Wow, that is really powerful. And I suppose that's also part of God allowing wickedness to be completely exposed. So for that reason, he's going to allow certain evils to continue to their full extent so that the devil can expose himself as the evil one.
Yes. And others are saying God is giving them a fair chance to reveal his evilness. So when it does persecute and trouble God's people, God is only revealing how cruel this man is, so that people have a choice. They see how good God is, how evil the devil is. If God could deprive the devil and take away the power, we can't compare the power of God and the power of the enemy. God must give him the fair chance, so that you can choose. Whether we choose God as our Lord or Satan as our Lord. But because to some, Satan is king, you know, just as God is king to us.
Sure. The scariest part, I think, is that we think that the ones who worship Satan are the ones who are openly announcing it, that they are.
We think that
we can't find them in church, we can't find them, you know, in the supermarkets or in our homes.
Yes. That's shallow Christianity. This one is like saying every church belongs to God. That's a mistake.
Sure.
Not every Christian church is a creation of God or is doing God's will. The devil has many churches that are doing his will in the name of Christ. And you must be careful. That is why studying the word of God is key.
Amen.
Yes, knowing God doctrinally, knowing God biblically is key.
Wow.
We must base our faith on the scripture, not on our emotions, not on our feelings. We can't trust our feelings. They create an environment whereby we feel like, hey, we're in the presence of God.
Yeah.
But the Bible says we must worship God not only in spirit but also in truth. I see the spirit is there, but where is the truth? That's the question you should ask as Christians.
Powerful. Let's wrap this up, Pastor. If you had to bring some takeaway points that you want to make sure that our listeners don't miss out on from this chapter, what would those be?
Well, thanks a million. As I alluded to some quotations, if we listen to that first and second, for us to know that the devil has no power to create life, we should take that home. Even if he can perform magic, but he cannot create life. Only God can create life. That is the point. And then another thing, we need to know that God is a fighter for his people.
Amen.
He's always fighting. It may take long, but ultimately he wins. His people with him, they also win. Powerful. That is my concluding points I want to mention.
Powerful. Powerful, powerful. My pastor, thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for coming through this week and for
God bless
lessons.
You. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. God bless. All right.
Family, that was Pastor Israel Changasa with a powerful lesson based on Exodus chapter 7. I hope that you were blessed by that and that you will spend time in the Word of God so that you will not be deceived.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.